Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. Lots on the business agenda that we've been discussing, and really all business stories and topics that hit close to home. If you happen to be a DStv subscriber, you might have received a notification earlier on this week alerting you to the fact that there will be several channels that will be closed down by the end of December. Why? Essentially, DStv, owned by MultiChoice, which was recently purchased by French broadcasting group Canal Plus, has reached the end of its carriage agreement with Warner Brothers Discovery. Now, Warner Brothers essentially is a studio that produces multiple assets of content. If you consider the fact that they have the likes of CNN that offers news, the Food Network, Cartoon Network, TLC Africa, Discovery Family, it's a wide array. But as we reflect on this and the minimization of channels that might be available on DStv, we actually thought to get a better understanding of the business of carriage agreements. What does it mean? How do they work? And to help us unpack this particular dynamic, we join on the line by Mobile Ndlovu, Cash and Sport Research Director, to help us get a better understanding of the business dynamics that now might be impacting you and I from a viewership point of view. Mobile, welcome to the show and thank you so much for your time.
Good afternoon and thanks so much for having me. Or good evening, should I say.
Indeed, such a pleasure to have you, sir. I'm excited to learn about this one because when I first saw the headline and even got the notification myself, I thought, this is peculiar. We've actually never seen something like this before. And the first thing that my mind went to was an understanding of Canal Plus now being the full owner of MultiChoice and perhaps a new broom sweeping clean. Maybe let's just start sharing how unusual this is, and not necessarily something we've experienced from DStv before.
Well, it's unusual in the sense that it affects so many channels, and it's such a big agreement that's under threat. Well, under threat, you could say, but it has happened before in smaller little bites and chunks. In that, you know, agreements come and go. And this affects the entire, kind of viewership journey in terms of the fact that a broadcast carriage agreement is essentially a contract agreement between whoever creates the content, and this is speaking in layman's terms, creates the content and whoever decides to license the content or have the right to broadcast that content to their audience. These have come and gone many, many times where, a rights holder has said, well, we want more money than what you afford, you're willing to pay, so therefore we're out. And in this particular instance, Warner Brothers Discovery have said, well, you know, we're for sale as a company, that they are for sale globally. We want more money than what Canal Plus is willing to pay. And Canal Plus is saying, well, we want to recoup our money in terms of that $3 billion investment that we made to purchase MultiChoice. So therefore, we're not willing to pay that money. And it's a cat and mouse game.
It really is a cat and mouse game. I do understand that there might be contradictory headlines because my editor actually having sent a news article saying that there might be a plot twist in terms of the channel cuts, because this hasn't been confirmed per se by DStv or MultiChoice. We will reach out to them to get a right of reply and clarity on this matter. But I guess for our benefit and our understanding, keeping with the theme of carriage agreements, help us understand, how do they work? Because one would assume you can actually go to a studio and essentially pick and choose the channels that you want.
Correct.
But that, I understand, hasn't been the case.
Yeah, so generally speaking, how they work is that a studio like Warner Brothers, which produces a bunch of different shows, I mean, you mentioned all of them, but just to run through them so that people have an understanding of what we're talking about here. The Discovery Channel, CNN, TLC, Discovery Family, which is Family Entertainment, Real Time Network, TNT Africa, The Food Network, Cartoon Network, The Travel Channel, all of those pieces of, you know, so a person who would produce these things would go to Warner Brothers and say, we want to have an agreement with you in terms of having all of these shows under your studio. Then a broadcaster like Canal Plus or, you know, whoever it is, if the SABC, for example, wanted to carry some of these content, some of these pieces of content on their bouquet, they would sign a content licensing agreement, which is essentially also known as a carriage agreement. The core of the agreement is essentially the right to broadcast that content on your bouquet. You pay a fee for that. And then you can then obviously, you can pick and choose these things as well. But sometimes you can do a sort of, you know, agreement where you carry quite a number of shows. Obviously, you know, the more you buy, the less you pay.
Mm.
But, I mean, for context, they haven't disclosed how much, Canal Plus or MultiChoice was paying, but there had been research on similar deals, saying that it would cost somewhere between $2 and $3 per subscriber per day.
Whoa.
In order to, so these deals are very expensive.
Whoa.
And if you were to transfer that to rands, it's quite a lot of money.
Mobile, this is so critical because as we're trying to, you know, do the maths with our, you know, back of the napkin calculations, this is quite substantial because then it means as a carrier, what you would want is great content that actually attracts the necessary audience. But I can imagine as a studio, what you want is as many platforms as possible. To actually have exposure on different channels. So it's a bit of a catch-22 where you're trying to manage content, cost, but also trying to ensure that you keep drawing the necessary audience. Is this typically where the key pillars that would influence decisions, I guess?
Yeah, it is. And I made a mistake. I said $2 to $3 per day, $2 to $3 per month. But be that as it may, you're quite right. The balancing act that you have to make in terms of how much are you willing to pay for these carriage agreements? Because ultimately you have to get your money back.
Mm.
And given the fact that, you know, the majority of the customer base who will be affected by this will be on premium, the DSTV premium and content and Compact Plus, which is essentially the biggest customer base, which has been dropping MultiChoice. They've been losing the biggest number of customers at that level. So given the fact that, I mean, in 2019, they had somewhere around 2.9 million customers in South Africa in that premium base,
mm-hmm.
and now that's down to just about 1.8 million, you've lost over a million customers in just under 6 or 7 years. But you're now paying more for the content that you're showing to the remaining customer base, and more of them are dropping off.
Yeah.
You know, you have to now make very difficult decisions as to whether do we even want the, you know, how much of that content do you keep? Plus, another thing that people forget is that premium customer base is who subsidizes the other content,
yes,
that we're talking about, such as sport and everything else. So when you lose those people, you're now losing the ability to be able to pay for your other content as well. So mm-hmm. it's a very tricky balancing act for Canal Plus to make.
It's going to be so interesting to see how this does unfold as we approach the new year and the feedback that they might give us in terms of their content deployment strategy. A key theme that we've often discussed with you as well, Mobile, has to be sport. And I know it's a key area of interest for you. And it's been one of the major draw cards for DSTV to attract an audience, greater premiums over the last few years. How do you see that playing out? And I guess especially in comparison to some of its competitors in the market where sporting rights have become a lot more, not only conducive, but competitive as well in terms of pricing and agreements.
This situation with the Warner Brothers and Discovery comes at a very interesting time. The rights for the Premier League are up for discussion at the moment, and I know that Canal Plus has just signed an agreement with regards to broadcasting more Premier League games for the next cycle, but we don't know, well, that's in France, but we don't know what that agreement looks like for Africa and sub-Saharan Africa. Those costs are getting higher and higher. There are other players now starting to want to broadcast sport live. If you remember, Netflix has started to broadcast live and are looking to potentially purchase sports rights. So the cost for sports rights are increasing all the time. Now, for Canal Plus, they now are the, you know, dominant broadcaster or pay TV broadcaster across the continent.
Mm.
They will be having very difficult conversations with sports leagues and rights holders across the continent as to whether they showcase any real value. And our domestic sports leagues will definitely be looking at this, you know, with keen interest to understand, you know, what's going to happen, because you might find yourself in a situation when you no longer have a broadcast agreement. And then for consumers as well, it's very challenging in that right now we have the best of the best in terms of being able to watch all of our sport on one platform.
Yeah.
But that's not going to carry on forever, because ultimately with the costs increasing but the subscriber base decreasing, Canal Plus will never be able to, you know, in perpetuity pay for all the sports content that subscribers want. And that's a very difficult thing. And for a lot of people, sport is the one thing that keeps them on the bouquet. So when it does come that other players come to the market and they bid in dollars and in amounts that are insurmountable for Canal Plus, we're going to have a problem in that you will end up having to watch content on multiple different subscriptions in order for you to get that fix that you have right now.
Nobile, you've taken me to a part that gets me excited because I know that this is work that you've worked on, referenced and had conversations about. But when you take a look at the media consumption or entertainment consumption trends and dynamics, it certainly seems as though we're no longer moving or reliant on so-called streaming or only or TV stations, especially if we take a look at how Canal Plus itself, together with MTN in Cameroon, have recently partnered to actually launch a new streaming platform. So I guess my question is, when we take a look at how we are going to consume entertainment in future, what does that look like?
We have a situation that's where subscribers are telling broadcasters that it's very clear they don't want to pay for content. You have the likes of your SABC, your SABC Plus, which is a free-to-air channel, which is growing in leaps and bounds. And across the continent, pay TV broadcasters like DSTV are losing customers at an alarming rate, such as Star Times as well, which is another pay TV broadcaster. But then, globally speaking, you have the growth of all of these streaming platforms, the Netflixes and the like, who are also growing across the continent. And now you have your telecommunications providers, as you mentioned, MTN, Canal Plus across the continent has also started a telecommunications or a fiber company in order to try and pivot to not only be a broadcaster, but also be a fiber provider, because they realize that if you can offer customers an access to data and stream content to them, you can capture them easier. So there's a very big inflection point that's coming where customers are saying, even also with the rise of pirating content, MultiChoice's biggest gripe over the past couple of years has been pirated content, where customers are saying, well, we don't want to pay for this, but we want to watch it. There's a big rise in ad-supported free television, but I mean, how many ads can you serve? And the subscriber who pays upfront is always going to be best, but so many of them are dropping off. I think we're in for a very interesting time over the next couple of years, where all of these global bodies who have been burnt by trying to push too much streaming and all of that are now consolidating into one place. And in Africa, we've never had that. So, we're going to have this ripple effect that's coming, where there's going to be splits, where customers will have to start subscribing to multiple different platforms, but because none of them want to pay, and because the economies are so bad across the continent, where does the free-to-air play come in? And, the growth of your domestic SABCs, Namibian Broadcasting Corporation, and the likes. It's very interesting. One thing that I've seen that's quite interesting as well is if you look at what's coming up now in terms of the World Cup 2026, the SABC in South Africa can't pay for the rights, but they've got support from Hollywood Bets as a funder, who are funding the rights and will have a revenue share agreement. Those types of deals, I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing more of, in terms of our state broadcasters starting to partner up with corporate partners in order to challenge your pay TV providers for rights and then build up their bouquet. It's very interesting what's happening in the broadcast space.
My brain cells are tickled right now, Nobile, because you're getting me excited and intrigued by this one, especially given just the shift in power, not just the broadcast platforms perhaps losing their sense of leadership, but needing to be more agnostic, but how sponsors and those who essentially have the funding to procure licenses then dictate which audiences or platforms that they actually want to have it on. Is this something that's also, I guess, part of an international trend that we might be witnessing, or unique to the South African environment given the size of our market?
No, it's an international trend. Most consumers globally would prefer to not pay to watch television and to watch content. So naturally speaking, the free-to-air broadcasters have the largest customer base, right? And audience base. Mm-hmm. However, those brands and these sponsors that you talk of want to reach that customer base, and therefore they're more than happy, if possible, to go to them directly through agreements with the free-to-air broadcasters. The challenge is that, especially in countries like ours, where you only have one large pay TV broadcaster, that pay TV broadcaster has tended to buy the best content to broadcast.
Mm.
Because the smaller state-owned broadcasters generally never have the money in order to pay for the carriage rights. So, but in a situation where you have these brands saying, no, we don't necessarily care for the pay TV broadcaster, we want the audience, I wouldn't be surprised if we now start to see them going to support your free-to-air broadcaster to get the best content, because that's where the audience lies. And ultimately, you know, that's the only factor that matters. The more people you have in your customer base,
yeah,
the more attractive you will be to brands who want to reach that customer base. It's for me, it's a natural progression. We've had people going and buying DSTV subscriptions because the best content is on there, but it won't be on there forever. Mm. You know, and when you now have to have 5 or 6 different subscriptions just to watch content, wouldn't it be easier if that content was free to watch and on television? Because people don't have the money to pay 3,000 rand a month to watch, yeah, on 6 different subscriptions just to watch the same type of package that you're watching on DSTV.
Exactly.
I don't see that happening.
Mike, the free-to-air theme, though, is one that definitely shifts the revenue models of so many of these media platforms that we've become used to. And radio is also one of them. As I read the most recent PwC Entertainment and Media report for 2025 to 2029, there are some intriguing developments that we see there. Nqobile, thank you so much, sir, for joining us and giving us some insight. This has been a fulfilling conversation.
Thank you so much. Continue doing great radio. And let's not forget about the podcast platforms as well, who are also becoming streamers and broadcasters of their own and challenging your traditional broadcast platforms. But thank you so much for the platform.
Thank you. Thank you. I get the hint as well, Nqobile. Thank you. That is Nqobile Ndlovu, Cash and Sport Research Director, joining us tonight to help us unpack what we see around carriage agreements. And again, using the DSTV and Warner Brothers notification that we had earlier on this week, we have reached out to MultiChoice and will continue doing so just to get their feedback on this particular conversation, as there are conflicting headlines regarding whether or not this has taken place, if it's false, or perhaps the positioning of the station. So we will get more feedback on that next week. But most importantly, there's a lesson for us to learn in terms of the business of carriage agreements. How TV licensing agreements work, where the revenue dynamics are coming up on board, and of course, how best it is that we can learn from the evolving landscape that we see in South Africa. But share your thoughts. I know for one, I'm a South African who has multiple subscriptions to streaming platforms. If it's not Apple, it's Amazon Prime. If it's not Amazon Prime, then it's Netflix and Showmax, and the list goes on. But as you can imagine, it's a lot. You can't even keep track of what you're watching, when you're watching it, which series and program you want to keep following up on. And at some point, you're just overwhelmed with so much content that you can't consume it all. I want to hear from you. What's your preference? Where do you watch your content? Are you watching YouTube videos? A few days ago, a colleague was telling me how her child no longer watches cartoons on TV, but they actually watch it on YouTube. So much so that they actually have a subscription to make sure that when they watch YouTube videos, they don't see the ads. Hey, how things are changing. Share your thoughts, 063-688-0959. Many of you have shared your voice notes and we will be playing them. But do stay with us here on Kaya 959.
I do Netflix and Showmax. I don't know when was the last time I switched on my DSTV and actually checked anything on DSTV. What I do is Showmax and Showmax sometimes. Normally it's Netflix because it keeps me entertained. Like you said, too many subscriptions will find you confused in your own to beg in. But my to go to, it's Netflix.
This thing, DSTV, losing channels and all that, I wanted to find out, maybe I was lost a bit, I wanted to find out if they really lose those channels, is the premium going to go down or how is it going to be? And most of us, when we're watching DSTV, it's only for a few channels. We're watching soccer, we're watching Zanzi Magic, we're watching Moja Love, we're watching SABC 1, ETV probably, you know, just a few of those, but you pay a high amount of the premium. So I'm one of those that they lost in terms of the price in terms of the repetition of movies and all that. So if they drop the price, that's net dishes as a corn.
That's what we like to hear. Those are voice notes from TP and JR of the Kaya Biz family, sharing their views and perspectives with us here on the show around a conversation we had on DSTV earlier this week, announcing that their partnership with Warner Brothers Discovery could be closing down and ending at the end of this year. And that does mean that there could be several TV stations or channels that could close down. The likes of CNN, which I think has garnered a lot of attention and favoritism and following in South Africa, Cartoon Network, a few others like the Food Network. I did notice, though, that there is an article on News 24 from Wendy Nola that highlights the fact that the article or the closure of the stations might not be adequate. However, we have made attempts and efforts to reach out to Canal Plus, or rather DSTV itself, to get some feedback on the story. So we will anticipate their feedback next week. Keep your voice notes coming through. There are quite a few of them that we have lined up on our stacks, and we will be playing them before the end of the show. We've spoken about all things to do with retail, from the Woolies shopping bag changing colors to Walmart opening up its doors in South Africa and trying to gain a competitive advantage against brands like Game that they own already in South Africa. We've spoken as well about DSTV and a business understanding of carriage fees, and even giving you some perspective around how the world of AI is influencing the financial services space. There's a lot, Kuningi, and there's more. But you know what we want to do? We want to hear from you. So help me do the show. 063-688-0959. That's where you can share your voice notes to. There's a few WhatsApp texts that have come through before we go to your voice notes. And I'd like to start with Sir Mgichimist. Always good to hear from you. He says, hi, Cooks. If the cancellation of certain channels in DSTV is true, watch Canal Plus will start with quote-unquote retrenchments next year to reduce further costs. Mgichimist, if I can correct you there, yes, I understand. Typically, when we see companies go under a new level of ownership, they always want to look to contain costs and implement a new strategy. But do be reminded that a theme that we covered extensively over the course of this year is the Canal Plus acquisition of MultiChoice. And one of the Competition Commission themes and regulatory approvals that came to the fore is that there will be no retrenchments at MultiChoice under the ownership of Canal Plus within the first 3 years. So the deal just recently got concluded in September. It will be a good 3 years before we see any significant retrenchments. At best, right now, we might see some movements in terms of leadership structures or positions that might be available. But by according to law and having to abide by the conditions of the deal being approved, they cannot implement retrenchments within the first 3 years of this particular transaction. And Lerato also sharing his thoughts on DSTV, commenting on the experience there. So let's go to that particular voice note now.
I moved to the UAE in May, and the last thing I did before we took off was to sign up to a VPN service because I was stressed that, oh my God, I'm going to miss out on my local content. So I'm a big supporter of local content, whether it's on SABC, well, Skeem Saam to be exact, and DSTV, obviously, and on Netflix as well. So I was quite surprised that I didn't need the VPN to download the DSTV and the SABC apps. So I have them on the TV, which is great because then, you know, when I watch, I feel like I'm at home and, you know, I forget that I'm like miles and miles away. So that and Kai FM have really just made my stay away from home feel like Nisekaya, you know? So yeah, maybe just to say thank you to Kaya as well for always keeping me company. And, you know, I know more about what's happening than some people that at home. So yeah, thank you for that conversation.
Oh, Lerato, poo, 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 poo. You make doing the show fun. So we thank you for listening throughout the course of the day here on Kaya 959 as we look to keep you entertained, informed, and most importantly, just a wholesome person with a better understanding of how the world works, which is what we aim to do here on Kaya Biz. It's been fantastic. Absolutely appreciate all of the voice notes that you've shared with us and, of course, the experiences that you've had. This is why we love doing what we do. So much so that this coming Saturday, myself and a few colleagues have been nominated at the Telkom South African Radio Awards, Phemelo Mutene for Best Talk Show on Point of View, Andy Maqondwana, Best Daytime Show, Kinelwe Huma, who's Best Reporter as well, not forgetting traffic reporters as well, like Saul Penduka, and Kaya Biz for the Best Business and Finance Show. So wish us luck. Saturday is the night. Hopefully we come back with some great news on Monday where we tell you about the Midas Touch.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.